Hey everyone, this is Craig Durr, and I want to welcome you to another edition of Decision Point. This is information for IT decision makers to help you make better informed decisions. This is another good episode that I'm excited to bring to you because in the last quarter or two, there's been a host of new products coming to market, and I'm sure you have a lot of questions about them as I do. Let's stop for a moment and visit one thing. What is Decision Point about? Decision Point's the opportunity to hear some information from the people bringing the technology to market. This is not a marketing presentation, so you're not going to die by PowerPoint. We're going to have honest questions, honest answers. Learn more about these products. Today's episode, we're going to be talking to Brian Phillips from HP Poly, and we're going to talk about a brand new BYOD solution they brought to market called the V12. Brian, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, Craig?
Good. Now, Brian and I do have some history. We've actually known each other in the industry for several years. So it doesn't mean I'm going to pull my questions. I'm going to still be the hard driving journalist that I want to be in this one here as well, too. Okay. Sound good?
As I would fully expect.
Okay, good. Hey, let's go ahead and dive in then. So we're talking about a new product that Poly is bringing to market. It is the V12. Why don't you tell me a little bit about the V12 here?
Yeah. So Poly Studio V12, I've actually got one here. It's nice and small and compact enough. I can kind of hold it up and show it, which is kind of a benefit. So yeah. This is a USB video bar that's designed for smaller meeting spaces. So hence the nice small form factor. It's this easy little clamp. You drop it on your display. You hook up a couple cables. You're good to go. So meant to be very simple, easy, cost-effective video for small rooms, but mirrors a lot of the kind of advanced AI-driven experiences and capabilities from the rest of our HP Poly Video portfolio.
Well, let me ask you this, Brian. I mean, is BYOD still an important part of use cases in market today? I mean, I've got some data, but I'm curious from your point of view, are BYOD use cases important to your customers?
I think we still see it as being really crucial, especially whether it is a smaller organization that's just maybe budget strapped. They know they need to up level the video experience they're getting from their smaller rooms, but they need to do it in a way that's cost effective, that's simple for a strapped small IT group that may not have a ton of collaboration expertise, but all the way up to even larger enterprises say, look, we've got this huge swath of smaller, whether it's a huddle room that seats three or four people, or might just be a little almost like phone booth style focus room where just one or two people are going to drop in there. And right, we've got to be able to video equip those rooms to deliver a great experience. But again, large enterprises have IT constraints too, so we can't have this being this huge additional burden on our already strapped IT staff. Something nice, simple, easy. People can bring in their own notebooks and away you go, can help serve a lot of gaps that I think are out there in terms of meeting spaces and whether or not they're video equipped at all.
I tend to agree with you. We just released some data in terms of what we call our market pulse. Now, this is an internal industry report, but it helps show what are the type of devices being sold in market. And in this last quarter, there were still almost a third of the devices sold were BYOD devices. 27-28% were still out there in market. And that number doesn't seem to be going away. So I think there's still a steady state. And I'll probably agree with you. There's probably a bifurcation. There's probably the small to medium companies that are using this because they're entering into the video space. They have an IT generalist. It seems to be simple. Hopefully we'll talk about the V12 and it proves to be simple here in a moment. But I think there's also still in that enterprise space as well, too. There just seems to be rooms that still BYOD is the appropriate level of technology for those rooms. And perhaps they upgrade in the future, but to still video enable them, it seems to work. Am I capturing what you're seeing as well?
I think that's spot on. Like you said, I don't see it waning away, even among larger enterprises. I still think there's that need for those smaller, simpler rooms for something cost effective, for someone to drop in and just connect in their own machine that I think is going to continue to be a significant part of the market going forward.
All right. Well, then let's dive into this product. Now, I actually had a chance to visit with one of your colleagues at ISE in Barcelona, and we did a short video on this as well, too. But you launched the V12 this past February in Barcelona, and it just became generally available this past week or so, right?
Yeah, it just started shipping right at the end of March.
Perfect. All right. So let's see some details about this. You know, we don't want to do this too much, but tell me a little bit about the speeds and feeds.
I won't over rotate too much, but some of the things that make it a little unique. So the camera, very purpose designed for those smaller rooms. And this is something we're really doing across the portfolio of really trying to right size and optimize the camera performance for the needs of different types of spaces. So this being a small space device, we want that nice wide 120 degree field of view, right? Because oftentimes you get those rooms where the table can be even shoved up right against the display. You got to make sure everybody's being seen. Mm-hmm. We built in a 20 megapixel camera. So pretty significant upgrade versus some of its predecessors that we've had on the small room. USB video bar portfolio, because even though that's frankly 20 megapixels is well beyond what you need to even do 4K video, let alone the standard 720p or 1080p you're going to do with say Teams or Zoom. What that high megapixel camera gives you is the ability to really zoom in and punch in without losing quality. So if you want to zoom in on somebody who's a little bit further away, or maybe someone who's writing on a whiteboard, or use our speaker framing technology, you can do that without losing image quality when you got this super high megapixel sensor. And then, of course, it's got all those smart camera tricks, too, that are also built in.
I was going to say that as well as your partnership with companies such as Microsoft Teams or Zoom, they're leveraging a lot of those intelligent IntelliFrame and other features as well, too, that probably would take full advantage of that. So that's good to know. Yep. What does the I/O look like on that? You know, there's always someone who wants to know about the I/O. Right.
Oh, yeah. So it's nice and simple. So I actually went ahead and attached our little monitor clamp here, which I think you'll use in most cases, though you could VESA mount this or wall mount this if you wanted to. But it's really pretty simple. You want to plug in USB, right? So you're connecting USB to the laptop that's in the room in order to get that audio and video connection. And then you connect it to power. And that's really it. And that's one of the unique things we've done in this device is we heard a lot of feedback from our customers on wanting cabling simplicity and power flexibility. So you can use just a standard AC adapter with this. It's actually a USB-C AC adapter that you can plug in and you can get. But you'll also see we've got this little PoE port on here, right? So what that means is you could actually power it over Ethernet. So it's PoE plus class 6, but that actually a huge benefit to that means that you can manage it over the network and power it all through a single cable. So really all you need to do is send two cables to it, one USB to your laptop and then one to your network jack to be able to manage it and power it, and away you go. So nice and simple.
That's actually, you're leaning into a really interesting feature I do want to touch base on. This is a networked device, right?
It is. So for the manageability piece, it's really important. So it is probably an important distinction that it's not networked from the standpoint of actually making a video call. It's a USB device, right? So you're using either a laptop in the room, or it can be a dedicated PC like a Teams room or Zoom room on Windows in that room. So it's not making the call using that network connection, but it's important for manageability because it's especially in those larger enterprises where they might have a huge estate of different types of video solutions from small rooms to large and headsets and phones and all sorts of other collaboration devices, being able to manage those all through a single portal is really crucial. And you can't just leave those huddle rooms out there on their own. And then somebody reports a problem and somebody's having to run over to that room in order to take care of it through our Poly Lens cloud management solution, right? You can access the device from anywhere through that network connection. Could be wired, could be Wi-Fi if you prefer, but we've had a lot of customers tell us we'd really like to just hardwire this thing to the network. Plus the fact that they can then power it up that way too. If they got PoE plus on the network, it's like a double win.
But that's pretty good. I mean, pretty straightforward. I think it's a solid device. Hey, out of curiosity, tell me about the audio for the device.
Yes. So we put a lot of emphasis on the audio in this device. So both what you're hearing in the room, but also how you're being heard on the far end. Okay. So we've got stereo speakers built into here. So a little bit different. Some of the other competitors' devices are still just using a single mono speaker, but we really wanted stereo performance in this device because sometimes in these small rooms, right?
Yeah.
You're not always just jumping on a video call. Sometimes you're going in there because you're sharing, maybe the latest marketing creative video, or you're sharing some other kind of multimedia content where you really want that rich, robust audio in the room. Because typically Teams or Zoom aren't usually sending stereo audio today, but there's a lot of other applications for that in those smaller rooms. So we put a lot of emphasis, not only just in stereo audio, but you know, it's one of those things you really need to hear. I can't just give you specs, but the richness of the audio coming out of these relatively small speakers, I think is really going to, it's really going to blow your mind. It is our audio engineers and designers went really above and beyond this device in delivering really pretty amazing sounding audio out of a pretty small little bar here. So you're going to hear everything really clearly. But then, of course, we're legendary for audio pickup and audio performance from meeting rooms. So just how clearly you're being heard from anywhere in the room, plus with our AI-driven audio features layered onto that. So for example, we've got our Noise Block AI technology, which is not only reducing the impact of distracting noises that can happen in meeting spaces, or you think of a small room and you think of kind of outside noises that could come in, can be a real problem. But it also now in our latest version, it is also reducing reverberation. So a lot of those smaller meeting rooms that might have a glass whiteboard and maybe a glass wall, and that kind of echoey reverberation in those rooms can be really, really significant and just make it more fatiguing for the person on the far end trying to hear what's being said. So we really cut down on the reverb in this device and just bring forth the clarity of everyone's voice.
So I was going to double click on that. So it sounds like you guys have really upped the Noise Block AI features in this one as well too. Well, with that said, what about the director AI features? Tell me about this, because I'm curious about how does this set itself apart from other ones that might be in market?
Yeah, so Director AI is how we refer to our AI-driven smart camera features. So that's where when you've got everybody being seen, that nice wide field of view camera, you can set it in different Director AI modes depending on maybe what type of meeting you're having, what type of experience you're trying to convey to the far end. So for a lot of meetings, folks just set it up in the basic, what we call group framing mode. So making sure that you're seeing everybody without seeing too much, because it's not a great experience. If you're walking into, even if it's a huddle room that seats four people, if you're walking in there by yourself and it's zoomed all the way out, right, you can get that, go back to that tiny little head sort of experience that nobody really likes on a video call. So that group framing just makes sure you see everyone without seeing too much. Okay. Or you can do people framing where it's going to zoom in on each individual in the room and then composite everybody together into a single view. So you're seeing everybody even more up close than you do with the group framing. Or I believe we're some of the best in the industry at doing speaker framing. So that's being able to use not only the video, but also triangulate from the audio to pinpoint where everybody is sitting in the meeting room to be able to instantly switch between as different people are talking. So you're always getting that close up image of the person who's talking. It's especially great if it's a more maybe a presentation oriented meeting, but there's still other people in the room that might want to interject. You want to see them up close as well. Okay. So again, just kind of depends on the particular type of meeting or type of experience you want to get from that room. Okay. You can easily set all that through the PolyLens app on the laptop that it's connected to.
That's what I was just going to ask. How is that stemmed? Because it's a BYOD device. So this is the PolyLens app that would be installed on the laptop. This gives you that control and management over the device, right?
Yep,
so if I'm an IT manager, I just have to make sure people have access to that PolyLens if we want to give that level of control.
Yep. So you can either do it as a user through the PolyLens app or from an IT admin standpoint, you can set that all centrally in the cloud.
Oh, perfect. All right. This is pretty good. So I like it. So, you know, we weren't going to go too far into speeds and feeds, but so far pretty impressive. I like the simplified deployment, especially with the PoE Plus. That is a really strong story there to put in place. And of course, the improvements that you're making on the Noise Block feature set with the
Reverb.
Reverb.
Let's get that right.
A tongue twister.
Reverb removal. Maybe that's a simple way of saying it.
Okay. All right. I got that one written down there. I got that one correct now. Okay. All right. Well, this is good. Device sounds really solid. I love that it's got stereo speakers. I love that it's got this additional audio features as well, too. The ability for that end user through the Poly lens app to management is a pretty strong story. Let's talk through some of the use cases here. When and where would this V12 be an ideal device to deploy?
Yeah, so definitely in those smaller room scenarios. So we tend to say for rooms up to about 5 participants is okay. The ideal sweet spot for a small room device like this. If you're getting into larger spaces, let's say you get into a mid-sized room that seats 6, 7, 8 people, that's where I think sometimes that super wide field of view camera can work against you a little bit because you probably don't need that super wide field of view in your more traditional mid-sized meeting room. So having one with actually a narrower field of view really helps your video quality. So we've got a device called the Studio V52 for those mid-sized rooms, or then you get to those even larger spaces, 10 to 15 people, where frankly, sometimes you not only get people further away, but sometimes they can be more, I don't know, collaboration type spaces, not always a traditional conference room where you actually really also need the wide field of view camera. So in our V72 device, it actually has 2 cameras. It's got one narrow field of view to be able to reach further in the room, and it's got the wide field of view and will automatically switch between those as they need to. But I don't want to get too distracted by all the other room types. For V12, it's really, that's where we specifically designed it around the needs of those smaller types of meeting spaces.
Okay, so easy to deploy, small meeting room space is what we're talking about here right now. And those end users, tell me, what do you think the workflow is when I walk in? How am I connecting? How's this working as I come into the room?
Yeah, and I think it's going to depend on whether you are a BYOD setup or really another key use case of the device that we haven't really touched on yet, but I do think is going to be popular, which is a dedicated compute in the room. So if it's BYOD, it's pretty simple, right? Sure. You've got that USB cable that is going to the device. You plug that in. It is also best to be able to connect to a monitor over HDMI in the room, because even if you're just by yourself in the room, let's say you've got the V12 up here on top of your display, and then you're seeing everybody on your laptop screen, you get one of these experiences. And that's not great. So it's best to get your monitor up onto the display the V12 is sitting on, whether you're by yourself in the room or certainly if there's others in the room, you really got to do that. So pretty easy. Plug in HDMI, USB, and away you go.
Okay.
But I think there's also going to be a maybe growing number of rooms or smaller spaces where organizations are choosing to put in full dedicated room solutions. And sometimes it can be a migration, right? You might, and that's actually one of the nice things about a device like this is you could start with this as BYOD and say, okay, let's go ahead and put some of these in our smaller rooms, see how people like them, see how they're performing. And then maybe over time you go, wow, we're getting a lot of use out of those rooms, but people would really like to be able to go in and just have a touch controller with the room calendar on there. You just hit a button and it just goes. So that's where this is certified for Microsoft Teams and rooms and for Zoom rooms. So you can just walk in the room. You can have this set up with a Zoom room on Windows, a Teams room on Windows, as your certified small room device. That's where you get the simplicity of just our TC10 touch controller on the table. You hit join and away you go. And so to make it even simpler for the user so they're not having to plug anything in when they walk in.
So just a PC-based use case in those rooms as well, too. You know, being part of the HP family, is that an HP bundle that includes HP compute that we're talking about in that regards, or?
You know, so the way that we actually deploy it is when you're deploying, let's say, our Teams room on Windows solution, you actually buy the HP compute along with the touch controller. They actually connect directly together. So it's a nice little package. Yeah. And then we say, okay, based on whether you are looking for a small room, medium room, or large room, then that drives, do you buy the V12 or do you go larger with the V52 for the midsize, the V72 for the large size? So you actually buy it as the same, say, Teams room on Windows solution across all your rooms, and then you just pick the right video bar for that space depending on the unique needs of that particular meeting room.
That's actually great. That actually is a great segue to this next idea I wanted to ask about, is how does this play into the larger portfolio? And I think you just hit on a key idea there. Not only does it fill in the room size use case, small, medium, large, but it also plays well with that if you want the compute or not in the room, and upgrading from that as well too, right? So I would start, if I'm an IT decision maker and I want to make these all PC-based solutions, I buy that HP TC10 bundle, and then I buy the right camera for the room size that I'm deploying. Basically, that's what we're talking about here?
that's essentially it. I think as an IT decision maker, you kind of start with the, for that particular room, what kind of workflow are you looking for? Are you looking for the BYOD, everybody brings in their own notebook, plug it in, away you go? Or are you looking for the complete solution? I don't want people plugging anything in. I want everything in the room already, so it's just fully managed by me. When someone walks in the room, they hit join and away they go. And if you want the complete solution, then are you looking for Windows or Android? And there are different considerations with both directions, right? And feels like it almost becomes a religious discussion sometimes around what do people prefer, Windows or Android in their meeting rooms. And again, the great thing about, you know, being part of HP is that we've got, of course, amazing Windows-based compute solutions across the board, but we also have a whole companion set of devices to these called Studio X. So those ones have Android built in. So you're running Teams on Android or Zoom on Android or Google Meet. And so really, as I talked earlier about, we got the V12, or you go bigger with the V52 or the V72. We have the same parallel portfolio with Studio X. We have, in that case, it's called an X32, 52, or 72. But again, small, medium, large, the devices essentially look the same as these. You'd actually have a hard time telling unless you got right up to the bezel there and you could see the name. Because the whole point is we want consistency across rooms, right? Okay. So it shouldn't matter whether you want BYOD or Windows or Android in your meeting space. If it's a, say, a small room, you should be able to expect the same audio and video performance and experiences and AI-driven features, no matter how you want to deploy it. And same with a medium room, same with a large room, and then also getting consistency even as you're going from room to room. So for example, let's say you go to one of our small rooms and you've got a V12 and you're using, for example, our people framing experience, which gives everybody their own up close and composites them together, right? Well, if you go from that room to, say, a larger meeting room and you want people framing, it shouldn't be this completely different experience, right? And oftentimes in the past in our own portfolio, and I think we've seen this throughout the industry, we can get some very different experiences sometimes in small rooms versus in larger rooms. And we're trying to drive more consistency across the portfolio. Of course, recognizing sometimes larger spaces have unique needs, right? So we'll have sometimes additional features that are tuned for those larger spaces on those larger meeting room products.
Like the split screen version or things like that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Got it. So what you're saying though is let's look across those AI driven feature sets. For the most part, what we're talking about, we're now at a point across both the V portfolio and the X portfolio that the director AI features are consistent across those.
They're essentially consistent across all of them. They behave the same way across all of them. The audio AI features, I mentioned that D-Reverb that we've added to our Noise Block AI, the latest generation version, that is also available across from small room to large room bars, whether Android or BYOD or Windows. So yes, driving that consistency of the latest experiences across the whole portfolio, I think, again, it helps with user comfort of knowing what to expect when they walk in different rooms and not feeling like they're going to get a surprise every time with what the experience is. And I think it helps for IT being able to know what they're deploying across these spaces, having confidence that they can deploy the same set of features across all these different types of rooms, no matter how they choose to deploy these scenarios or what types of workflows they want to set up.
You know, and then let's clarify one thing. Does this all tie into the same poly lens management construct? So this means that I have that same single pane of glass and I'm seeing not only my X portfolio, but my V portfolio, including the V12, if I want.
Yes, exactly. So you see it all in poly lens. You manage them all that way, whether it's USB BYOD or USB connected to compute in the room, or all in one with Android built into the bar. And then extending out if you're deploying headsets or phones or other collaboration devices from HP Poly, you're extending to that as well. So you get that single pane of glass across all of your collaboration devices.
Okay. Now, out of curiosity, so partnerships you mentioned, Microsoft Teams and Zoom are very important too. Is this device then recognized in any of those management tools and frameworks as well too?
Yeah, so because it's certified, it's going to be recognized there as well if you're managing, say, through CDM, or let's say you're using Windows Update in order to push software updates to these devices. And again, it can be another benefit, too, of the manageability, not just from a laptop, but that centralized manageability from Lens. You can do that during off hours. But if you want to do the Windows Update push all supported within those kind of partner ecosystems as well. One of the benefits of being a certified device. And we're going to also be very soon, by the way, certified for Google Meet as well. So we'll be across basically all three of those major platforms.
I actually think that platform is a really important one. It serves a really unique customer base. You know, it tends to be a lot of the smaller company bases, but they have some really large enterprise deployments. So I think Google is kind of this, this hidden, you know, horse in this race that people cannot discount in this process. So here it is. I hear you covering for that IT portfolio story, a lot of flexibility. A lot of scalability, a lot of management across all these. So it seems to check a lot of all those boxes I need to think about as I'm deploying across my rooms right now. You mentioned this earlier. Help me understand. This is probably replacing another product. Was it the R30 or which one am I probably replacing as I go forward?
Yeah, we had, interestingly, a couple of, you can think of as previous generation products. We had one called the Studio R30, which is pretty similar kind of form factor and design. And then we had one we called Studio USB, which is a little bit bigger, meant more for medium-sized rooms. This, in a sense, replaces both. Even though I spent a lot of time talking about this as a smaller room device, this can, for a customer of ours who was familiar with Studio USB, really liked the performance, but wants some of the upgraded features, this is going to give you a great experience in those rooms as well if you're looking for just a simple upgrade. I do think in those mid-sized spaces, like I said, having a camera that's really optimized for mid-sized rooms is going to give you even better performance, but this can be a great fit for a lot of those previous Studio USB customers as well. And that was a wildly popular product for us. So there's a ton of those out there. So this is really a next gen version to both of those devices.
I like it. You know, as an outside observer, we are a couple of years into Poly being part of the HP family. This is where I think you've really hit stride, where you have a consistent product portfolio, consistent feature sets for both Android and PC based solutions. I think it's a really solid portfolio right now, which is a great thing to say going forward. And this sets us up well. I mean, what is your vision here going forward? What does hybrid work mean to HP in this process? I mean, you've got a complete portfolio. You've got a strong software feature set. Are we at the end game? You guys going farther? What does this mean?
So definitely not the end game. If anything, I think of this as a little bit of the beginning, right? Because obviously throughout HP, we have this huge focus on the future of work. And so much has changed about the way we work and the dynamics of work. And this, again, is HP-wide in compute, print, collaboration, solutions across the board. You're going to see that. Now, in the collaboration space in particular, that's where this really significant migration to what we refer to as our next gen portfolio or second gen portfolio has been a huge emphasis for us in the last year. Like you mentioned, now whether it's Windows or Android or BYOD, for any room size, we've put a tremendous amount of effort into this whole new, what we call this next generation set of devices across all those use cases. This one was actually the last one that we announced and are now starting to ship. So we've kind of completed now that migration to a next gen portfolio. So what that does is really sets the stage for a whole new wave of software innovations going forward, because all these devices have a dramatically upgraded chipset. So a lot of additional processing capability, a lot of additional AI capability that's built into there that now through software updates, we can start to tap into. So I don't want to get too like roadmap-y or future-y, but just keep your eyes out. For a lot of the cool new stuff we're going to be able to now build on top of this next gen platform because of the power and the inherent hardware capabilities built into these devices.
And I think you hit a key point there. I like what I hear because you're aligned with a larger HP story. I was really impressed. I had a chance about 6 months ago and looking forward to going again to HP Imagine. And it was across the board aligning to what they were embracing as hybrid work. And we're talking about not or modern work, whatever term you want to use, but not only just about the video conferencing devices, but there was the HP solutions that were coming out, formerly workplace solutions, now HP solutions. There was a lot of the printer solutions, whatever else, because as you talked about, a lot of these are IT generalists. There's a lot of AV functionality being rolled into IT organizations. And for them, talking HP is a very comfortable language. So I think it's a nice alignment, what's taking place there. That's good.
Yeah. I think It's going to be interesting. You can't, I think as an IT decision maker, you can't just look at collaboration in a vacuum, right? It's got to be taken into account with the rest of your technology estate. And that's where I think we're in a really unique position as HP of being the leading compute vendor, even a lot of interesting things you can do folding in the print side. And then, of course, HP solutions and collaboration and a lot of this coming together. And again, just some pretty exciting stuff that's coming. Can't get too roadmappy. I think if you've seen some of our announcements over the last several months, it's going to give you some clues as to where things are going to go. But I think really looking at this, especially even just in thinking of hybrid work and the experience that users have when they come into an office with their notebook and they're maybe docking in at a hoteling station and now they're going to move into a meeting space and that whole workflow and how you move throughout your day, being able to have a much more consistent experience where devices, every device you use is all working together to streamline things, to make your life as a worker easier and more seamless wherever you're connecting. There's a lot of exciting things happening.
There's the phrase out there, and I think it applies here. You never want to see an organization's org chart. You never want to see their BUs. You want to just see the products work across the board. And it sounds like you guys are doing it. All right. So what's next? Where can people find out some more about the V12? It sounds like we can go to the website.
Yes. So HP.com, just look for the collaboration section up there, and that's going to give you all the latest info. Also, if you're watching this prior to mid-June and you're going to be at Infocom, definitely come see us at Infocom. Yeah. We've got pretty good sized presence there. We're going to have some other exciting new things to talk about there. I'll leave it at that.
Really?
So come visit us at Infocom because there's going to be even more coming that I think is going to get folks really excited on kind of the future of HP Poly in the collaboration space.
Wow. That's good to know. All right. Well, Brian, I think you passed the gauntlet here. I don't think I gave you too many hard questions. I know. I like the answers here. This is a great addition. What I really like is that you've completed on a promise to your customers. You've rounded out the portfolio. You've got feature sets that are equal across all these different use cases now and across the, noise block AI and the audio AI and the director AI feature sets as well too. And it ties to a really strong HP management story. So it's really good. Well, good. Brian, I appreciate it. I think we've covered a lot here. Any last thoughts you'd want to share?
I think we covered it all. No, just again, keep an eye out. There's so much happening in this space overall. Collaboration is pretty exciting and dynamic space. I think you would agree, Craig. And we've got so much coming, as far as some new innovations and the ways that HP with the Poly portfolio is really going to set apart, in terms of experiences going forward. So just, keep your eyes peeled. It's never a dull moment.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and sign off now. Everyone, I want to thank Brian Phillips for walking us through the V12. And actually, we talked about a larger HP story here. Brian, thank you for your time. And thank you for joining us on this edition of Decision Point. Be sure to visit the links that we mentioned before. And stay tuned. We're going to have some more updates bringing products and information to you as you try to make informed decisions. Your Decision Point. Take care, everyone.